Hey there. Welcome everybody to this week's coaching call. So glad you're here. Hey, Michael, good to see you. Glad you've joined us. Just waiting for other folks to jump on. And while we're waiting, if you're interested, I'd love to hear from you. We're just doing our starting out with our just for fun question. Feel free to type that in the chat. It's eating season for a lot of people with holidays. And so somebody asked this question the other day. I thought it was a great question. So what's your favorite comfort food? So much fun. Hey, Barb. Welcome. Glad you're here. Good to have you joining us. Just waiting a few moments for other people, to join. So feel free to say hello in the chat and share your answer to our just for fun question if you'd like. Michael says your comfort food is sweet potato chips. Really? The Starbucks ones. I have not had this. I do like sweet potato chips. That's interesting. Barb said anything salty. I'm with you, Barb. I tend to be comfort food. Like for me, it's like mashed potatoes with, you know, homemade gravy, you know, really something crazy like that. Salty and, you know, yummy, which I just got to enjoy on Thanksgiving. So that was kind of brought that to my mind, but anything salty. Yeah, I'm with you, Barb. I don't know why, but that's my thing. Good. All right. So just a reminder for everybody on the call that we're recording today. So if you are, if you need to leave early because of other commitments, anything like that, feel free. If you aren't able to make it, this is recording will be available tomorrow. They usually post it and make it available the next day. So you'll see that. And you can always come back and listen again if there's something that you want to hear again. All right. I am going to move on to our first question for everybody. And there's only a couple of you here on the call today, but that's okay. Glad you both are here. We'll have plenty of time to have conversation if there's something that you need help with. And I know you've both been in the program now, moving along. So feel free to share a win, big or small, anything in the last week or two since the last time we were together. Feel free to type that in, or just give me an update. Let me know where you are in the program, what session perhaps you're on or what you're working on right now, just so that I have an idea of where you are. And sharing both would be great too. So if you have a win, we'd love to celebrate with you both and with everybody who's here. Barb, thanks. Looks like you are moving along here. She said she drafted her first warm golden nugget email. That's great. That's awesome. Looking forward to hearing how that goes for you once you start sending that out. That's exciting. And I know you've also, Barb, been working on your website too. So working hard to bring that to where you want it to be. So hopefully that's going well too. Anybody else who wants to share a win? Ah, Michael, there you are. He was typing. Second discovery call with a prospective client yesterday. They want a package quote for 6 to 8 content pieces, including white papers, case studies for the first quarter next year. Wow. That's fantastic, Michael. Good for you. Congratulations. And a second call means they're interested. That's exciting. Happy to chat a little bit about that today. I imagine you may have some questions around that, and we can talk about that today. We'll have time to, but that's congratulations. That's a huge win. And Barb says, oh yeah, I got that updated, incorporated most of your ideas, including convert to first person. Oh, good for you, Barb. Yeah, I know you were kind of on the fence about whether or not you wanted to do that. So good for you. I happen to agree with Ed in that I think, I think that first person, personalizing your website and making you human is just a more powerful. And then if you start to expand and you start bringing people on, you can you know, make a change in your next iteration. But to begin with, I think it's nice to have it be first person. So congrats for getting that done. Awesome. Good stuff. You guys are cruising through the program. I'm glad. It's definitely great to get updates from those of you who are in the program and moving forward. Sometimes life happens, gets in the way, and it slows you down a little bit, but it sounds like you guys are you're both making good progress. So awesome. All right. Well, we'll dive right in and get right to the questions. And on the slide, you can see it says, you know, one question per person. That's okay. We can go back and forth a couple of times here today if need be. And questions, keep them specific and focused, but don't hesitate to ask questions about anything that you're curious about, anything in the program that maybe you're not quite clear on. anything in regards to just building your business and what this is going to look like. I'm happy to help on in any area, and don't be shy. Don't feel that questions are, you know, are off base or anything like that. I think, you know, in the beginning, I remember back when I started, I felt like, you know, and my questions were foolish. I was like, oh, this must be a silly question. And probably not. The thing I like to remind people of on these calls is that, you know, all of you are starting kind of in the same place. You're all just getting started. And so trust me, the question you have, I would bet a lot of other people have as well. So don't be shy about asking any question that you really have a burning need to have answered and need some help with. So, and Barbara's first to the out of the gate here with a question, and she said, which comes first, build LinkedIn relationship or send warm email? This is such a great question and such a long term, you know, it's something that Ed answers. I think he's got an email, an article, a blog article on this, very possibly. I know he's addressed it before, and I'm just looking to see, because this is a common question. The other thing I would recommend for those of you who are in the Facebook group is go back to the Facebook group too, because this question's been asked before. And I will address it for you, Barb, but just as another place to go for more insight and perspectives, is to go back to the group and search within the Facebook group on LinkedIn, the word LinkedIn, and see what, and scroll through some of those, because people have lots of questions around LinkedIn. It's such a powerful tool. We all want to make sure that we're using it the right way. So definitely just as another option, if you're not on the call today and you're looking for some support as well, feel free to do that. There's lots of good information. And this question's been definitely a popular one. So I'll give you my perspective on how to do this. It's the chicken or the egg kind of a question. And I'll give you my perspective. I happen to be a really huge LinkedIn fan. And it's been something, I've used this tool since almost it was introduced. I think I joined LinkedIn maybe 2 years after the tool was introduced, and never looked back. It's such a powerful tool for connecting with professionals all around the world, honestly. So I am also a fan of that slower approach to and building a good relationship with a person on LinkedIn. So one of the things that we recommend is to start getting your name in front of the person that you want to connect with. And so you can do that slowly by just, you know, methodically without feeling pushy or salesy, is to just comment on posts that they share. Hopefully you can follow a person without having to connect with them, by the way, so you can see what they post on LinkedIn. So, you know, look at their profile, see what kinds of things they're sharing to get a sense of what they're interested in, and what they're spending time with. What kinds of things are they reading and spending time paying attention to, and then making comments, hitting a like when they post something, when they share an article or make a comment or add a comment on. So maybe they comment on an article and then you add on just, hey, I agree, or I like what you had to say here, or, you know, and ask them a question, that kind of thing. So you can kind of engage with them a little bit and get your name in front of them without, before you go to the warm email, so that they're not completely cold. They're not blindsided by an email from somebody that they don't recognize your name. So there's definitely an advantage to doing it that way. I know a lot of folks who do exactly the opposite. So to a certain extent, this is a very much a personal preference. And I'm going to fall back on my usual comment of try it and see what works best for you. Try with a couple of targets, a couple of your prospects, try just, you know, interacting with them on LinkedIn first, and then send a warm email. Or some people send warm emails and then follow up either way, it's getting your name in front of the person that you're trying to connect with. And so that's a good thing. A warm email might get overlooked. It's such a different environment on LinkedIn that you can really, I think, kind of put yourself in front of the right people, and just introduce yourself again with a kind of a low key approach without really being feeling, you know, salesy and aggressive. So it's very much personal style. It's very much a personal choice, but also I would recommend that you test both. Send a warm email first a couple times, see if they respond, then reach out and say, hey, thanks for you know, responding to my email. I'd love to connect with you here on LinkedIn. You know, so close that loop, regardless of which way you start, whether you send a warm email first or you spend time, you know, getting in front of them on LinkedIn, make sure you could close that loop one way or another where you eventually, if they're responding to you positively, then definitely you want to connect with them on LinkedIn so that you have, you can have, you know, see their contact information and have, you know, have access to them on LinkedIn. I think that's the other thing too, is if you can build a relationship on LinkedIn and get them to accept an invite from you, once you're connected, you have the correct information for them. You'll have their email address. Not everybody puts their phone number into LinkedIn, but you'll definitely have their email address, and that could be real positive. So there's no hard and fast rule, Barb. All of that to simply say there's no hard and fast rule. Whatever works for you, and I would definitely recommend that you test both methods and see if one, maybe the industry that you're calling on, people really respond on LinkedIn. Or maybe they don't spend much time on LinkedIn and the warm emails are having, you know, better results for you. So hard to tell until you try it a couple times with a few different people. And the best way to kind of judge that up front is to see, okay, so the people that I'm targeting, are they on LinkedIn and how active are they? And by looking at the profile, you can get a sense of how often they post, how much interaction, you know, are they making comments? Are they sharing things? You get a sense of whether or not they spend any time there. And that might be a good indicator for you, for your target audience, whether or not it's, which comes first. So I hope that was helpful. All right, Michael, I am going to read your question and then I'm probably going to bring you on so we can have a conversation. Michael's question is, the client that he's now met with for a second time wants a package quote for 6 to 8 content pieces for the first quarter of next year. I already gave him ballpark quotes for different types of pieces. He thought those pieces were reasonable. We're talking $750 for a case study, $2,500 white paper, fairly low, I think. Yes, I agree. So now I was thinking of sending client quotes for different packages of 8 pieces, 3 white papers, 2 case studies, 3 articles, something like that, and pricing them by adding my individual item rates up and discounting total by 10%. Does that sound like a good approach? So I am gonna have you unmute so we can chat about this a little bit, because there's a couple different ways to approach it. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Susan, how you doing?
Great. Great, great. Hold on, let me just...
Quick change there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, so the, let me see. You know, there's a lot of different ways to look at this. How far, first question, I guess, for you, Michael, is how far along are you in the B2B Launcher program? What session are you on?
The last one, 8.
Oh, you are, great. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So you were able to, session 6, the master fee schedule that Ed provides, did you use that to kind of base your prices on?
Yeah, the master fee schedule, basically that. I think AWAI has a big price guide too.
Great, great.
A lot broader range and not as specific as the one that Ed has. But yeah, I looked at them both. And yeah, for the case study, like, you know, I saw like 1500 is like the going rate. But I mean, for a first time, I would take $750.
Yeah. For some. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even $2,500 for the white paper, you know, fair. That's reasonable. That's definitely reasonable. Because they know, I assume they know that you're fairly new to the industry and that, or did that not come up?
They know I'm new. They know I haven't, like, this is like basically like a health tech firm, and they know I haven't written specifically for health tech before, but you know, I did tell them, you know, they know that I'm a, you know, I was a former healthcare litigator.
Okay.
And the guy, and it was cool. The guy like said, cause I was actually, the meeting yesterday was with this, was with the two co-owners and the VP of marketing, the guy I first talked with.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like a small, two co-founders is what they are. They're, this is a small, like just over 30 employee company in Austin. And where was it going? He basically said like, they haven't really gotten the marketing yet. They just put up the website a year ago, but they want to really, in the next year, they really want to get into this stuff.
Yeah, so, good. Oh, perfect. Yeah. Perfect timing. Yeah. So I think what makes sense, there's a couple different ways to approach this. And I think for me, to keep it simple, the best thing to do would be to come up with what exactly where you started is that I would say that white papers, so let's say they change their mind and they want 8 white papers or 8 case studies, right? So they're asking you to mix and match. What I would rather see you do, I think what makes sense is to come up with, okay, under this program, you can mix and match any. The only downside is, I would come up with something as I'm thinking this through now, as I'm talking out loud here, thinking this through out loud, is if they decided on 8 articles, they would be very expensive articles. Or if they decided on 8 white papers, they'd be very cheap white papers.
Right.
You know, so we want to be careful about that. And I think, it might make more sense to just do set a fee for each one, and then you guys choose how many of each you want.
The one caveat I have to that is that they're actually kind of asking for like my strategy too, you know, to come up with like, okay, what's our plan for next year? What do you think will work for next year? What can I come up with some ideas for articles and white paper ideas and topics and things like that?
That's great. That changes everything. That changes everything. So that, you know, that's where I often, you know, when people first get into B2B Launcher, we don't talk a lot about being that consultant or that strategist, because it's just, you got too much else to do. You know, you're trying to get your website in place and all that. But you're at the other end of this. This is exactly where you should be going, is they're looking at you as a consultant, and they're looking at, they want your opinion. They want your professional opinion of how to move forward in this area. So this is an awesome opportunity for you to create something that's definitely more, they're not looking for you to just crank out content. They want your opinion, and that's really cool. So I would look at, I would do a little bit of calculating here and figure out if they're looking for, and this is something too, where you want to sit back and say, okay, maybe come up with a package yourself of 2 white papers or 3 white papers, 2 case studies, 3 articles, something along that line. And then use your math, you know, add that up, and then add a piece for strategy and see where that lands. And then what you might want to do is say, look, I'll work with you for the first, you know, 3 months or 6 months of the year, something like that. And then we can decide, you know, if you want to do retainer or something like that. What might make the most sense right up front, though, is for you to do, I often suggest a brand new client like this and a, you know, new relationship, is to suggest a trial piece, or maybe a couple of trial pieces. So start small. And yes, they think they want 8 pieces, but maybe you produce maybe 2 pieces for them and they go, wow, this is cool. We actually want more than that. So it's almost like slow down to speed up. I would suggest maybe you start with, look, why don't I do this? Why don't I do a white paper for you? Well, 1 white paper, 1 case study, and 2 articles, and see what you think. That way they have a chance to try you out. You have a chance to try them out kind of thing. Are they going to be good to
That's
work?
That's a good idea, because you got to get a better feel for like the content and the richness of each one and how much can be split up.
Yeah. And the best way to position that is to say, look, you know, you're just getting started. I want to make sure that this is the right fit for both of us, that I can do what you expect, but that you are very pleased with what I'm doing. So this gives us a chance. It's not a long-term commitment. It's not big money. It's just, look, I'll do one piece for you, or maybe two pieces. And then we decide, then we sit down and have another conversation. Is this what you expected? Is it, you know, because you also as a writer want to know how involved are they going to be? So they might say, oh yeah, we'll give you all kinds of information. And then ultimately they don't, or you're chasing them around and it takes months. And, you know, we've all been through these kinds of situations where sometimes a client says, yeah, I'll give you all this information. And then you end up having to do all the research yourself instead of them giving you the background information, takes you a lot longer. Now all of a sudden
you're
not making good money. You're suddenly working ridiculous hours to try and get something done. So you don't know how they're going to be. So sometimes some kind of a trial piece or pieces is a better way to go. And just in that way, they can kind of relax and go, okay, good. Because now they want to get to know you too and make sure that you want to make sure you're the right resource for them. Obviously you want the work and you don't want to say no, but I would just back that down a smidge and say, okay, let's start with 1, 2, and 3. Let's start with these three.
Right.
And let's try that. And also, again, try it with their audience. You know, tell me more about your audience. How big is your list? Where are you? What's your social media profile look like? Your presence, you know, what do you want this to do? You know, when you start getting into strategy, it's like, well, what would you like it to do? Complete the sentence. This marketing project would be successful when, will be successful when, and then, you know, have them finish the sentence. When what? When you've got a consistent flow, when you're keeping in front of your best or your most important audience. What are you trying to accomplish by doing all of this?
Yeah, they kind of told me that yesterday though.
They did. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would whatever information they gave you yesterday, come up with a combination of pieces that you think, here's where I'd like to start, is to do this and this. Here's the prices, and let's see where that takes us. And
right. So give it, so maybe like a smaller, like either reiterate the individual item prices that I gave them, or more just like give them, probably better just give them like a package deal for, here's if I do one white paper, one case study, one article.
Perfect. Yes.
Right. Okay.
I'll charge you this and let's see how that goes.
See the trial. Yeah.
Right. So that way we all can walk away, and if it doesn't, and you're not happy, or this doesn't feel like it's a fit, then no harm, no foul. We both agree to move on.
Right. And like you said, it could exceed expectations and they could want more of it.
For sure. So then they're saying, oh, well, we want you to write 2 articles a month for the whole year or something like that. Then you're positioning yourself to be able to say, okay, let's talk about a retainer, a longer term retainer, where you just pay me per month. And at the end of the year, you'll have the following. I'll have completed the following for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, then you can put together a better package for them because of the ongoing strategy that you want to, and consulting that you want to provide.
Right.
Yeah. This is.
And then when I'm counting like this smaller, like trial piece package, my sense, do not add what's the opposite of discount, the bonus on top of it for the strategy. Cause you were suggesting that at first was like adding like a little on top of that for strategizing with them. But maybe if I'm doing this trial piece, don't add that on.
Right, because all you want to do is test the waters with this client and make sure that they're happy. I have no doubt that they'll be very satisfied. But if you come up with a couple of pieces and get them thinking in a different way, they might be more than willing to pay you a whole lot more. So then what you do is you say, okay, you're happy with these things. Here's what I propose. I propose that I put together a price for you that includes strategy, that includes this number of items and blah, blah, blah. And we go on from there. And then they'll say, perfect. You know, it'll be an easier sale on the backside. So.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Great advice.
that makes sense?
It makes complete sense. I like it a lot. I'm going to go with it.
Great. Well, keep us posted on Facebook. Let me know how it goes.
Will do. Thank you awesome. So much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. Love it. You've got some great opportunity there. And it just, that's one of the hardest things is, you know, when you're first new to this, you're like, oh, they want all this stuff. And you want to just jump right in. Thanks, Barb. That was a good discussion. It's a good thing to kind of, and this term I heard many, many years ago when I was in sales, it was slow down to speed up. And I think that's exactly right. Because the other thing that really does from a psychological perspective is if you come back to them and say, you know what, I'm not ready to do 8 pieces for you. Here's what I think is better. Then they're going to sit up and say, oh, you're not going to like just jump in. No, I want to make sure this is right. And that will help them to feel more confident in you and it's going to build trust. And that's really where you want to go, is for them to be able to just turn around because you're going to eventually become their go-to resource, right? They're going to call you every time they have a question like, oh, do you think we should be doing this? Do you think we should be on Instagram? Do you think we should be on TikTok? What do you think? You know, they're going to start looking to you for more advice. And that's exactly what you want to do. But this is a great way to build trust right up front is to just say, you know what, let's step back a little bit. That way we both are comfortable. That way you guys aren't, you know, we aren't overcommitting to each other before we even have a chance to get to know each other. So it's a good way to, you know, it really will on the backside, I think, work out better for you. And it's a good thing to keep in mind for everyone is, you know, I have done trial pieces when I was doing copywriting like that, that type of copywriting for people. I always would say, you know what, let's do 3 articles. Let's start with that. See how it goes. People are like, sure. You know, it's an easy yes too. That's the other nice thing about, you know, stepping back is that it's easy for them to say, oh, only 3 articles. I don't have to be no commitment necessarily, no big commitment, big dollars. That's a much easier yes. So just something to keep in mind. And that's just a sales tactic, really, more than anything. It's just, take it, you know, go at it. I think it'll always benefit you in the long run. So yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right, Michael. You're demonstrating higher value by not just jumping at the first big thing. You really want to make sure you do this right. And they're going to appreciate that. And you can even say that. I want to make sure that this is the right fit for you. Because trust me, I have been in situations. I've been in this 7 years now. And there were times when I jumped. I knew in my intuition was telling me, don't take this project. And I would take a project. And I was miserable. Because I knew the client was going to be difficult. Or I was chasing money. I spent more time chasing money than I did writing. All these things that, you know, you just don't know until you get into it. And sometimes this is a really great security, safety valve for you personally is to say, you know what, before I commit and I dive in, this looks great on the outside. I'm really excited about it, but let's make sure that it's because you're protecting yourself too. This isn't, it's a great way to, this is such a great tool because it does build that trust. But it also protects you from getting over-involved. And then you could get to a point where you could say to the client, geez, you know, they were really difficult to work with or something like that. You would say something along the lines of, you know, my schedule is just not going to permit me to take this on. Let me see if I can find someone to help you with your needs. Or you could even say, I don't feel like I'm the best fit for this project. I think you'd be better suited with someone who's got more experience or got more experience directly in this or something like that. So you've got room to, you know, to back away if need be. So awesome. And Michael says that he found this prospect through warm email prospecting. Yay. He said, this was my somewhere in the 160th place I contacted. They responded to my first email after about 5 days, and this was late October-ish or so. Yay. Thank you for sharing that, Michael. I love so many times I've had people come through this program And I talk about patience, and it's a marathon, not a sprint. And Ed and I both do often, as we remind people, is just, you know, this takes time. And so thank you for sharing your experience, Michael, because it's warm email does work. It just takes time. And, you know, this is the 100th and 160th company that you contacted. Took them 5 days to respond, and it was October, and now you're here. We are in early December, and you're just now having conversations about next almost said semester, my goodness, next quarter. And so you're not even going to be working with them in this calendar year. We've only got a couple weeks left of the year, so this is an excellent example of warm email at its finest. This is actually 160 is not bad. It's really not that bad, to tell you the truth. So, but you know what? It's one of those things where warm email prospecting, it does take time. I've had people come through the program and say, well, you know, this warm email prospecting isn't working. Well, how many emails did you send? Well, I sent 10. Okay. So 10 is not enough. And persistence and patience are key when it comes to prospecting. And it's not what you want to hear when you're first getting started, but it is true. So that and being strategic about who you reach out to, making sure that you're reaching out to the right people, really leveraging your network to try and get referrals. Referrals are so golden. And if there's any way to do that, referrals will help you to speed this process up a little bit. But overall, it does take a little bit of time. So thank you for sharing that, Michael. And that's exciting. Can't wait to hear how things go for you. All right. All right. Hey, Barb. Barb's question. Next question. Maybe this is in the course and I haven't gotten there yet, but how do you follow up when with no immediate response? All right. Let me see. I'm just looking. Sorry. It is in the course, Barb, and I'm just looking to see where it is probably. So session 8 actually is probably one of the first places that Ed addresses what he refers to as not yet ready. And you'll see that in session 8. And I'm not sure if you're, and you just finished session 5. So that's why I like to know about where you are. So you've got a little ways to get there. So what you want to really be focusing on right now, Barb, is just building your list, reaching out and making sure that you're focusing on building that list of people that you're trying to contact. And then in session 8, Ed talks a lot about not yet ready. So there's a host of responses that you could get from a warm email. And it could be anything from, either they didn't respond, they were a non-responder. Maybe they responded, but said, hey, you know, great to have you as a resource, but I would like to, we don't have anything going on right now. Contact me again in a couple of months or something like that. There's a variety of responses that you could get, including no response at all. So what do you do? And in session 8, Ed talks a lot about how to nurture, what to send, how often, and all of those things. So all of that information is in session 8. That being said, when you get there, it's a matter of timing to a certain extent. You know, you want at least 2 weeks probably to go between your first email and a follow-up. You might want to send the same email. Sometimes you might try sending something different with a different subject line and that kind of stuff. Ed addresses all of that. But you don't want to, he also talks about how long do you keep them on your not yet ready or on your nurture list. He calls it a nurturing list and how to nurture that lead. There are times when it's taken 6, 7, 8 emails before someone responds. So we don't want to give up too soon, but we also don't want to just, you know, pummel them with email after email after email. We want to just find that balance. Again, as you get to know your target market, you'll find that, you know, for what's right for Michael and what works in his target market might not work for Barb and vice versa. So it really is a matter of testing things, seeing how things go. And Michael, you said fixing your positioning along the way really helped you to get better results at warm email prospecting. So what I want to do is bring you back on and have you just explain a little bit about how that went. So let me unmute you real quick, or ask you to unmute if you're still there. I'm not sure.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, there you are. Okay.
Hi again.
So tell us just a little bit about what that looked like. So how did you tweak it? Did you overhaul it? And then where did you see the shift?
I basically, the very beginning, this was like earlier this year, when I did your guys' initial course, I forget what you call it, the one where we set up the website and all that.
Yeah.
And I set up my positioning at that time, and I started out as a fintech writer because I'd been done one of those in the past. But, you know, I'm an attorney, and that's like not my particular, I can't point to my own background in that, right?
Okay.
But I'd just done some of it and liked it and wanted to go in that direction. And then over time, I said, like, but there's a lot of ones that I'm seeing that, like, I'd be perfect for like legal tech, right? They're trying to market some tech that's like does logistics for law firms. I mean, that'd be awesome.
It's perfect.
You know, I'm obviously right there in terms of like someone who could write that stuff, or health tech, because I was a healthcare litigator. So it's over time, I think it took like through the end of the year, I finally figured out that I want, and also talking with Ed in some of these Q&A sessions.
Perfect.
He's saying that, you know, if I just put like, because I was putting like fintech and SaaS, software as a service, or in tech. And he's like, I think that's too broad now. I think it's better, instead of just saying SaaS or software or tech, it's better to narrow down to like a few areas, you know, fintech and this and this.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
So the fintech help now, that's what I am now, is like, I'm tech and SaaS, B2B tech and SaaS copywriter, emphasis on fintech, health tech, and legal tech.
Great.
And I can point to all three of those, like, you know, stuff I have like experience in.
Great. Great. And so tell me a little bit about the responses that you're getting. I mean, did you send another round of emails to people that you had previously contacted, or are you just continuing to move forward?
I sent another round of emails to the first 80 I sent. And actually on that, just going through that second round, on like number 60 something within that, I got my first ever like discovery call.
Nice.
So, you know, like, I don't know, you never know. And she's, and it was something, there was some line in there about how I can increase your email conversions, and the CMO over there, like, loved that line. And so I got on the phone, like, with the content manager. They wanted an email campaign. I think I might've overpriced it, my quote. But they said it wasn't in their budget that quarter. So, you know, it was promising, but didn't go anywhere.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's so great. Then, you know, so that was the only time I sent second round. For the rest of, like, when Barb's question is, like, I think, you know, Ed says, like, send the initial warm email, and then 7 to 14 days later, send a follow-up email, like, with some new point information. If you don't get a response to that, then just move on. And that's what I've done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's, and that's, you know, email, everything's changing anyway, in regards to the way people are responding to email and that kind of thing, but it's still a great way to reach out and find clients. And I love your fine tuning story. So you're, because I talk about this all the time when people come and say, oh, you know, how should I position myself? Start with, you know, put a stick in the sand and then see how it goes. And that's exactly what you did. And now you've fine tuned to a point where your people are actually responding. They're looking at your background and saying, ooh, yeah, I want to talk to this guy. So
yeah. Good. And I can tell you the key to results with it is just like, it is definitely a numbers game. I mean, I looked at like what my total responses were out of all the ones I sent, and recently it was like 1 out of 20.
Wow.
But you know, you never, but you know, that's like pretty, so it's like, you got to send like a lot, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, but that's 1 out of 20 is good.
Yeah. That, okay. Good. Good. Because like, you know, I was like, wow, that's low, but it's just like, okay, but you get a list of companies you want to send to, look them up, look up their LinkedIn people.
Exactly.
Find some, think of something that's cool to say or whatever, and then just send.
Go from there. Go from
yeah.
there. And Barb just asked a question. So while you're on the, live here with me, she wanted to know how you handle your warm email prospecting differently, golden nugget versus connector versus prospect. Is there, do you make any distinction between those? How do you, I mean, obviously.
I adjust that material. I think, what is that, session 5?
I think so.
That material is kind of new to me, because like the warm email prospecting that I learned was from that other course I did with you guys, you know, just the initial like, you know, the setting up the website.
Sure.
Kind of
yep.
thing.
Yeah.
So I don't categorize them in my mind that way. And also I think those are for people, the golden, if I recall, these are people like within your own network.
Correct. Exactly.
Right. So. And I actually haven't done, see, I got to start doing that.
Yeah.
That's yes. one thing on my list is to go through like my own network.
Oh, yes.
And do the golden nuggets connectors. But this has all been purely prospects. Purely prospecting.
Just
yeah.
cold, warm, just warm, just reaching out to people.
Yeah. I looked them up on a list of like, I'll look up like top health tech firms in Charlotte, gotcha. Right? Or like, you know, top fintech firms in Austin, you know, and I get like a best in LA or best in Austin or whatever it is, some tech journals, like top 10 or top 20 list. Sure. And I look at them one by one and see if they'd be like, you know,
there's some potential
to work sure. with.
If it's worth yeah. it. Great. Ah, cool. Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing your experience there. And if I can encourage you to go back to, is it 5? Actually, 4 has your list of reaching out to gold nuggets, connectors, helping hands, that kind of thing, previous employers, okay. all of that. Session 4 is, and then session 5, I think it actually has the templates for different things. But definitely take another quick breeze through, because that is, my network was instrumental when I first got started.
Yeah.
People who already know you and respect you, for them to, geez, you're doing that now. Yeah. I know somebody who could use your help, and cool. Like they're more than willing, and they'll evangelize for you. They're like, oh, yeah, we know Mike, he's great. And yeah, definitely reach out to this guy. He can help you. So it's not, can I work for you? It's, do you know anyone who might need my services? And it's a great way to reconnect and strengthen your network at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Awesome. Awesome. Great stuff. Thank you for sharing, Mike. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Yeah, there's some brigade information in this program, and I always try to turn people back in, you know, don't hesitate to go back to a module or a session if you need a refresher, if it's been a while, something like that. Don't hesitate, that's what it's there for. So definitely, you know, that's what you invested in, and I want to encourage you to go back and look again. The other thing is, if you've been doing warm email prospecting for a little bit, and then you go back to some of the earlier sessions, you're going to pick up different information. Like the first time you went through, it might not have been as obvious or important to you. And then you send out a bunch of warm emails and you have some experiences. Then you go back and you're like, oh, that's right. He said it to do it this way. You might see new things. You might see new information. So don't hesitate to go back while you can, while you have access and you can dig back in. And it's always worth going through this more than once, especially some of the key sessions. So Barb, I just saw you, you talked about all prospects. I hope that you heard the clarification that Mike made, is that he's not actually been focusing too much on his network, but he's doing all prospecting right now. But definitely the gold nuggets, connectors, that kind of thing are very different. You're going to approach them differently because they already know you. And that's the key, is they already know and like and trust you. And so you're reaching out to them more as a friend, like, hey, I haven't spoken with you in a while. Just want to let you know what I'm up to, doing this now. And, keep me in mind if you know of anyone who might need my help. So it's a very different approach than obviously to a prospect. So great. Cool. All right. Glad. Just wanted to make sure we're all clear there on the same page. So awesome. Well, I'd love to find out from you guys what's been most valuable so far. I mean, we haven't been on for too long, but we've had some great conversation today. So thank you both for your questions as well as your feedback. But anything, kind of stand out that was the most helpful so far? And we have time for more questions and more discussion. So if you have them, don't hesitate to post more in the chat. So Barb said, hearing real world activity from Michael. That's exactly why I brought him back on, to just share his experience. It is wonderful to hear someone who's, not that far along into this, not much further ahead than you are, or maybe at the same place, and to hear what his experience has been like. So I'm glad that was helpful. And Michael said, advice on quoting for this prospect. Excellent. Well, I'm glad that was helpful. Excellent. So I'm going to move to, this is typically our last slide. It's a little before the top of the hour here, and we have time for more questions, or if there's anything else that you want to ask, don't hesitate. But if we're winding down on questions, then I'd love to hear what your top action item is. We are coming into the home stretch. I can't believe we're into December. It's amazing how quickly December came. For a year that felt like it was never going to end, it's ending quickly. So feel free to share anything at this point, your top action item. And Michael's just jumping in with another win. I have a discovery call with another prospective client in about an hour, an online contracting firm. They contacted me during my discovery call with this other client yesterday. You're on a roll. That's awesome. What a great way to be wrapping up the year, with all these really cool things on the horizon for you. Apparently you're tweaking and you're fine tuning of your positioning really is working for you. So congratulations on finding that sweet spot, because it's working. Barbara's action item. Barb said, send my first warm emails to my network, which I haven't even realized was so big until I took the course. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. And yeah, Michael, definitely keep us posted at Facebook. I want to hear how things go. And if you need support in between today and our next call, feel free. That's go to the Q&A, post that in there. Ed will chime in as well. Feel free to post questions if you need more support as you move forward with all these guys. Awesome. Michael says, get a quote out to the prospect and get agreement on the initial work. Absolutely. Yay. That'll be a great way to start. And you can get started on that this year. Make sure that you get a deposit up front for part of it. So anything that you're comfortable with. As an attorney, you know how those things work. But definitely don't, as I like to say, put pen to paper until you have a little money in the bank. So you both have some skin in the game. So excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, if there aren't any more questions or any more discussion, I am going to wrap us up. Remember, please use the Facebook group, use the Q&A thread, post questions, post anything that you have. Don't be shy. That's what it's there for. And that's the best way to reach us in between these calls. And so feel free to use that. And I encourage you to do so and keep us posted on all of your progress. We love to hear and celebrate with everybody in the program. So thank you both for being here. Thanks for some great discussion today. And I will see you, I think, one more time. Yes, in December. So right before the holidays. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks, in 2 weeks. And you guys have a great rest of your week, and see you on Facebook. Take care, everybody.